Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello, welcome to The Music of Marriage.
With Bob and
Evie. We're here on the second Music of Marriage show of the year 2024. And we are going to talk about hope for the new year. That's more than wishful thinking in regard, especially to our marriage and relationships.
Yeah.
So, you know, last week it might have sounded a little negative. We said why New Year's resolutions don't work, but then we added, but what does work, kind of. And I guess, like our daughter said, that doesn't sound very positive, you know, why New Year's resolutions don't work. But what we were trying to get at was not that they're a bad idea, because self-assessment is always helpful. And it's something we need to do much more regularly than we often are inclined to want to do. Because if we stop and assess what we're doing, think about it, we might have to. It's kind of like, you know, when my floor's dirty at home and I'm like, yeah, I should probably clean under there a little bit, but oh well, let's just move along. And you kind of don't really want to get into the down and dirty of everything. So, yeah, we're here to talk about hope for the new year. Bob, why don't you give us some of your ideas?
I don't know. I think it's hopeless.
More than wishful thinking.
Yeah,
because you had a good point about how we, a lot of times it's kind of just wishful thinking. Sometimes it's like, no, I'm really going to get a hold of this, but then it peters out. So.
Yeah, and of course, hope in the Bible has nothing to do with wishful thinking. It has to do with certainty-based thinking, and that certainty is based on promises that God makes to us about why we can have hope.
So we can be certain because of God's promises that our New Year's resolutions will work?
Not necessarily in that order, but it all depends. If your resolutions are in alignment with God's, then you can have certainty that things will happen and be proactively advancing. You know, the question is, what's the central focus of our resolutions? Will it be, you know, personal achievement or a balanced life with a bigger picture?
What do you mean by a balanced life with a bigger picture?
Well,
you're kind of making it sound like personal achievement as a resolution. Well, personal achievement can include having a more balanced life with a bigger picture, but I'm wondering exactly what specifically you.
Well, if your goals are all, you know, having to do with yourself, in other words, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to, you know, lose so many pounds, I'm going to get buff, I'm going to become Mr. Universe this year, so I'm going to spend, 40 hours a week in the gym, that kind of thing. or, you know, I'm going to have a successful business, do this or that, and that's all fine and good. As long as the rest of the life is in balance, like what about your marriage, your children, your friends? What about things that God tells you to do in His Word, in terms of how to relate to others and how to conduct yourself in business and in marriage and in the world? All of those things.
Yeah, we often hear about, you know, a new you in, you know, 20 days or something. And I do think that personal goals are important. They should always be inclusive, especially if we're talking about marriage here. They have to be inclusive of other people and relationships in our lives, because unless we improve ourselves, then we don't have a whole lot of hope of, you know, because what comes from us will have a ripple effect, you mm-hmm. know, on the people around us and create the bigger picture of our life. So I guess over the years, you get a little more attuned to, you know, I seem to keep falling back into this mistake of eating chocolate too late in the day, and then I'm laying awake at 3 a.m. and then I'm not that functional or in a great mood the next day, which doesn't help my marriage or relationships or anything else. Or whatever it is that we tend to fall into. And it's not necessarily a great big bad thing. It's just something that we know, you know, causes mm-hmm. us, oh, you know, I shouldn't have gone off my diet, or I shouldn't have done this, because we're so finely tuned, we're such finely tuned instruments
mm-hmm.
In terms of the way our brains and our physical body and our spiritual self are all integrated. And so, you know, the one has an effect on the other.
Or if I drink my third cup of coffee and I'm a little bit on edge, it affects my relationships and affects my wife. And she says something that I don't find too favorable at the time, then I might overreact with a little bit of an edge to my tone.
And I don't drink coffee, but I notice that even when if I eat too much chocolate, I'm like, wow, this caffeine is like making me really like edgy in my response to everything. It's very subtle,
so,
and I guess tuning ourselves, like tuning an instrument, like I said.
Fine-tuning,
you know,
yeah, that's a good word.
As we get older and the years pass in our lives and in our marriages, you know, we should be fine-tuning, and we do just because we have that life experience. It's kind of like probably everybody learns by the hard way, like your dad used to say, the school of hard knocks, you know,
mm-hmm.
is how you learn. And you get older and you think you're getting wiser now and you're mastering some things, and now you're able to maybe instruct others, and you're actually aware of how much you still don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the good news is, like we have often said, you know, we have the ability, we have a will, and that God has given us a free will to choose whether to do this or that. And so, but a lot of times our physical desire for something, our urge for something, whether it's because we didn't get enough sleep, we're whatever it is, and we have an urge to do something, and some little voice in us says, you know, probably shouldn't do that. And you just push that aside, say, oh, just one more time. Oh, it won't hurt. Oh, you know. But the reason that there's hope for us to improve in these areas of our life is because God gives us the ability to assess and think through things on a spiritual level, because it really is, you know, it says in the Bible, as a man thinks in his heart. Sorry, I got the old King James in my brain still, but as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. And guard your heart, because from it flow the well springs of life. So if we want our lives to be improved, we need to get spiritually aligned. And that's one of the first things we want to talk about, was spiritual alignment.
Yeah. And last week we had talked about the three areas that we can see significant growth in the new year, and that's spiritual growth, character growth, and relational growth. And if our goals are set along those three tracks and running simultaneously, like on three different tracks, then we can be sure that we're not neglecting one area of life that's important for the other. And so in the same way, we have a couple things. Eddie mentioned spiritual alignment is one we're going to focus on today. The other is character advancement and relational adaptation are the three areas that we thought today would be practical in terms of getting our minds around how things are going to be different this year, what's going to change, you know. I tend to like Henry Ford's perspective.
Now we got a question. Is it really Henry Ford or Albert Einstein?
This is, you can look it up. This is definitely Henry Ford, but he's very down-to-earth guy. So, you know, he says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And I thought that was pretty good. So if this coming year we don't change anything, then nothing will change. And whatever your situation is, isn't going to change from that practical perspective. However, no situation remains the same because we live in a spiritual world. We live in a changing world. A lot of things affect us. You know, national and international crises affect us. You know, whether we have hope that we'll have food next month affects us. All these things require us to be constantly adapting and changing and growing in these areas. And the first one, spiritual alignment, because as we mentioned last week, without the spiritual perspective, you're just taking a very humanistic approach to life, and if that's all you take, then you're on your own. And if you don't have a relationship with God, that's understandable, obviously. The advantage of having a relationship with God is that you have another resource or a resource that is much greater than we can ever think or imagine on our side. And so that's the benefit of spiritual alignment. And what do we mean by that? Well, you know, after many miles of travel in your car on rough roads and potholes and things like that, your car needs an alignment, and otherwise your tires will, you know, wear unevenly, and the ride will suffer. And even on smooth roads, your car will be a little bit wobbly. So you got to get that car aligned. And in the same way, we need spiritual alignment, and spiritual alignment is necessary throughout each day, not just a one-time thing. You know, when I first come to know Christ as Savior, things like that, that's the beginning. But that alignment has to be continual. Because why? Because we tend to be like sheep and go astray, and we have our own way of doing things, and we tend to be wanderers, and we could easily stray from safety in that sense. So we can talk about goals and ambitions, but unless we set out to do what we know is in alignment with God's will, then we'll all too easily become self-centered in our pursuits.
I don't know that most people really think about what is God's will, or how do I find out what that is?
Yeah.
And and why should I care about that? What does that have to do with my improvement of, you know, my personal goals? To lose 30 pounds, or to be a kinder husband, or manage the money better, or whatever it is. You know, how do we incorporate, how do we even ignite that flame that, you know, and sometimes maybe what it is that, you know, the potholes of life, like you're talking about, that throw us out of alignment, we get used to riding rough. You know, we get used to living out of alignment spiritually, and it takes humility and self-introspection and the willingness to say, wow, I really need to stop that. And you see that you can't do a lot of things on your own, even simple things like not eating chocolate at night. That's it's like, I'm like, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I eat chocolate again at night. I'll never do it again. I'm up at 3 in the morning. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not an alcoholic. But I'm a chocoholic. It's a thing.
Well, it's not a sin to eat chocolate or anything like that.
What? But I'm just
a functional chocoholic.
Yeah, a functional chocoholic. Right.
Well, I do a good job covering it up.
It just depends on the effect it has on you, of course. That's what it all boils down to.
And that's the thing. I think that, do we connect those dots, you know? And I do, because I start saying, okay, now wait a minute. This behavior, this mood I'm in, or this anxiety that's building in me, or in you if you have too much caffeine, coffee. It's like, wow, I feel this anxiety. Well, it affects your nervous system. And chocolate, I remember my 10th grade geometry teacher saying, you know, that chocolate suppresses your B vitamins, which keeps your emotions regulated. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can see how that is. So,
is that, you know, why that's, you were just so unstable when we got married?
No, I didn't eat chocolate.
Just joking. No. No, she was the most stable person I've known, so she got it under control.
Well, I think that there's a lot of extreme emotional swings that people experience today. When we were younger, you know, you didn't hear about, you didn't even hear the word anxiety. Like, I mean, hardly, you know. Maybe a random Bible verse, one, you know, cast all your anxiety on him for he cares for you. But then it became like this thing and these drugs and this, and I'm like, well, is what happened to people? And then, of course, our first date was a health food picnic where it was Bob's thing, where he brought, you know, 20 grain bread and herbal tea, and he's telling me why the normal things that I'm eating isn't good for me. And first sack of groceries I brought home after our honeymoon, you know, oh, now this cranberry sauce has corn syrup in it, and Dr. So-and-so says we should get this kind because it doesn't have that, that, and that, and the red food coloring. So I appreciate that, because all that is to say, pretty much on every level in our life, we have to keep checking our levels of what are we accepting too much of, and what are we not disciplined enough. And it's, you know, the discipline.
I have to admit, I may have been a little overly focused on those kinds of things back then. But back then, I mean, health foods, there was hardly any health food stores. And so someone once said to my wife, is your husband still into fads? It was called a fad. If you were into health.
You were ahead of your time.
I think so. But anyway, it all worked out well. So.
Well, I'm thankful, because I think we have been healthier for it. But again, we're talking in this section, believe it or not, about spiritual alignment. But our spirit decides, am I going to order that dessert? Am I going to eat that? You know, am I going to allow myself? We give ourselves a lot of leeway, you know. I know I do. And if we don't rein that in and say, you know, God, help me to see what I'm missing and to be disciplined enough to have a life that's more orderly, that's more reflective of of your orderly ways and more useful than to the people around me. And yes, I think that should be a big motivator. You'll have a lot of hope when you are motivated by the people around you who will benefit, and by just pleasing your creator, who's done just about everything he can to try to help us to have more peace in our life, better sleep, better relationships, everything else.
And talking about God's will, there's a verse in Romans 12 that addresses that. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind and by the testing. And by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so...
Roy's striving for perfection for some reason. and then Roy's thinking, well, at the end of this life, there's heaven. That'll be rest. We won't have to be striving anymore. Well, you got to make sure you don't die without Jesus, because you want to be with him eternally, as my friend says. But, you know, there's this struggle always in our minds. And the reason that's there is because we are created in God's image. We're not just amorphous, you know, like the clouds just drifting around by happenstance. We happen to feel this way, so we'll do that. Oh, that didn't work out. It actually affects our well-being, our spiritual well-being, and our spiritual well-being affects everything else. So
Yes, and unless we are being, like the verse said, transformed, or going through some kind of a change, metamorphosis is the Greek word for transformed in that verse. Metamorphosis, as you know, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly and then going out among the flowers and drinking the nectar. So in the same way, that's how we have to be thinking on a regular basis. Are we being transformed? Or are we renewing our mind? Are we changing the way we think, the way we approach life, or are we just the same old, you know, how you doing? Oh, same old, same old. Well, you know what? It's God requires more of us than the same old, same old. He doesn't look down on us, but he requires growth and transformation for us to keep in step with the Spirit and to follow Jesus, because why do you think he said, follow me? Well, he's going somewhere. if we're not going anywhere, well, we're not following him. You know, that's what it boils down to.
And that's why Christmas happened, that we just celebrated, that God made himself like us so he could show us how relatable he is, even though he's keeping the whole creation together at the same time. He's very relatable to each one of us personally.
Yeah.
And in my world, you know, it's usually about me, because each of us has our own life experience that nobody else will understand, even our spouse, you know, or our best friends. But the neat thing is that God has the time, because he lives outside of time, exists outside of time. He has time and interest to fully understand and come into each of our worlds where we are now, and he knows where we would like things to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if we say yes to partnership with him, then we're not in it alone, relying on our own strength, because that in itself is, you know, that jug is only so full.
Yeah, in fact, Os Guinness in his book Renaissance said, we may contribute little to our renewal except the needs that make our renewal necessary. I thought it was a very profound statement. And it just is basically saying that we can't really renew ourselves. We have a great need for renewal, but we need God's help big time, and God knows that, and he's gracious and patient and forbearing with us. And so we're thankful that we can take that perspective.
And have hope. Each of us can have hope that even though we are weak human vessels, and we may feel pretty strong and on top of things, actually, but maybe you have a weak spouse who's struggling. They haven't got their act together, as we all know how our spouses don't have their act together, or a relationship. Somebody's really failing us. But we, if we're in spiritual alignment with God's perspective, we can look at them not as something to just, you know, throw in the dustbin, but but as an opportunity to help them. Mm-hmm. And so now maybe my resolution would be, I need to have more patience. I need to pray for my enemies more. Sometimes, I thought this recently, I thought about a certain person. I thought, well, because he's my enemy, I'll pray for him. Because God says, pray for your enemies. I thought that was about the best I could come up with to start to even think about praying for this, for a person. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have too many big bad enemies in my life. And when I say enemy, it sounds very strong, but I think that any one who you really dislike, who's really done you wrong, mm-hmm. You know, we tend to just want to run. Yeah. But part of spiritual alignment that will give us hope for improved relationships in the new year is when we submit ourselves and try God's suggestion, actually pray for your enemies. So if there's someone who really rubs you the wrong way, or it's your spouse, and don't quit doing that, because it's when you do that, if you can pray for your enemy or those, you know, who aren't doing well at any level, that is the only hope you have of even bringing them into alignment with you, mm-hmm. in a friendship.
Yeah.
But if you just say, well, they're hopeless, forget it, you know. So, and that's the beauty of, you know, God's intervention, that he says, you know, mm-hmm. I have the power, mm-hmm. to help. You'll see things change when you actually ask me.
And because of that, as Oz Guinness also said, our circumstances may be crushingly real, but for us, they are never decisive. So you never look at your circumstances as ultimate or final or too bad to fix. They're never decisive. There's always a way. There's always a better way. There's always a better way to relate to someone, for God to do a miracle in a relationship, to turn a heart around. Because it all comes down to the heart, as Eddie said earlier. And right now, we have a song from Kieran Kane and Kevin Welch called Just Like That.
History lesson number one. There's not a thing that can't be done. Somewhere in this world of doubt, someone's gonna work it out. There you go. Take our dreams and turn them into been done. You haven't learned to live as one. You try to find peace through war, although it's never worked before. If we want peace, we've got to start to heal the hurt in every heart. There you go. Just like that.
We're back with the Music of Marriage, and we're talking about the continuation of New Year's resolutions and having a hope for the new year, and hope that's more than wishful thinking.
That's right. And we have a website, by the way, called themusicofmarriage.com, where you can hear radio podcasts and you can share them. So we would invite you to go there. Also, we have a book called How to Make Your Marriage Sing, mm-hmm. and you can get that there and that on our website, themusicofmarriage.com, and our music
download
is there.
Yeah, download MP3s of our songs. So the second section, segment of our show, we're going to talk about character advancement. And the thing about character is that it's so critical that nothing that you want to change can change unless you change. That involves character advancement. You need to advance in your character development. Growth, of course, is another word we used last week. But so character growth happens when we build on something that's already there. We mentioned that too, and we always build on a foundation. It's not something that, well, pick up where we left off, or what would I like to do? What would I like to do next? You know, it's more what can I do that's in alignment with how God wants me to develop as a person, and that foundation is already built on Christ if you're a Christian. If you're not, you know, you're building on a different foundation, and we certainly would invite you to look at Christ as a firm foundation to build on, and a personal relationship to experience that will change your life. It certainly has changed ours.
Well, he actually is a friend, and you know, you'll know if you ask for God's help with your new year challenges and aspirations. You'll know, because he's right there, and he has his ways of letting you know that he's answered prayer. And that's very encouraging, because then we know, oh, you know, I failed again. And the other good thing is he doesn't just dump us because we failed over and over again. He doesn't say, all right, you know, that was the 30th chocolate bar, Evie, so I'm out of here. I'm done helping, you know. And that's how we should be in our relationships and our marriage.
You're really preoccupied with chocolate today, Evelyn.
That's because I've been eating so much of it lately. This is the first day I'm going, what do they call it? When you're going,
a
you
binge.
Know, when you're going off something, you're going cold off. Turkey
oh, yeah.
off chocolate.
Is that why you bought a case
so
of it?
Far? Well, I'm returning that.
Oh, you are?
Okay. I'm going to give it to Daryl.
I look forward to that. Daryl, you want some chocolate, Daryl?
Oh, I'm in the same club.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, and sometimes it's the dumbest, it might seem like a really insignificant thing, you know, but it's like, again, like in music, fine-tuning your instrument. You know, life is like an instrument we play, and what kind of sound, you know, what kind of music comes out of our life? Are we bringing joy to people who listen to us throughout the day? Are our thoughts thoughts that would bring harmony. and we all want that. We all want to enjoy the beauty that there is to enjoy. And God gives us all kinds of ways and opportunities to be blessed by that. And it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, because, you know, we all know people with a lot of money can have very stressful, unbalanced lives and feel very hopeless. And then so can people who have no money, not enough money, you know, feel very hopeless and imbalanced. But, or you could be in the middle where you feel like, you know, I've got my vehicles paid off, I've got no debt right now, I can, you know, I think I'm going to be okay into retirement, da da da. But then you can become too self-confident. So no matter what position we are in, God's an equal opportunity God. And he will lift us up from our spiritual place of need. Or if we think that we're too, if we are too high up in our own minds, on the throne of our life, he'll very kindly bring us to reality and to where we realize this isn't about me. This isn't something I can brag about or something I can assume that I will always have this situation, you know?
That's why he says, take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. Because we can easily become confident. And something our pastor once said, Jack Miller, back in Pennsylvania, is that faith and presumption share the same attribute, and that is confidence. So it could be difficult to tell which one you're active on right at the moment. You know, is it faith or is it presumption? And it's a really good question to ask yourself in whatever you're doing or wherever you think you are in life or whatever you have achieved. Are you feeling self-confident about and are you feeling like you've got your future all wrapped up, or are you trusting in God for your future? Because really we don't know our future, but he certainly does. And that's why you can't just, for instance, I bought a book on habits once and I didn't find it it changed my habits.
The Highly Effective Habits of Seven People. No, was that it?
No. Yeah, Henry Ford wrote that. No.
Oh, it was the Seven Effective Habits of Highly Effective People? I don't know. There's always a number. I wish we hadn't put the number 5 on our book cover because everybody has the number 5 now. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
We really debated.
They're copying us.
5 biblical dynamics to keep the music playing. But we have an excuse because in music, the staff of music has 5 lines,
yes,
you know,
right.
E, G, you know, and so forth. So that kind of makes sense.
But my point was, if you just try to change your habits, you're not going to get very far. Not that that's not a good thing to do. Obviously, there are things that we should stop doing and things we should start doing, and habitually speaking. So, yes, looking at your habits is one thing, but we looked at this passage that I think is the strongest Bible passage dealing with character growth that I've come across, and I'm just going to read it again. We didn't really finish the last part of that passage last week, so I'll read this again, and this is what is going to contribute to character advancement. And it's not just like a suggestion. It's, you know, there are certain things written in Scripture that are indicative of what God has done. There are other things that are imperative about what he requires of us. And so this 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10 goes, I don't know if you would like to read that, Evelyn.
Oh, sure.
My voice is getting a little froggy this morning.
It's a froggy kind of day, don't you think?
It is.
But you know, it looks like it should be snowing.
Yes.
It's got those neat gray winter clouds and the white ones and the.
Yes.
But it's real rainy. But it's windy and cold and down here in the wintry. South. It doesn't. We might get snow though soon. It doesn't snow as much as when we lived up north, but
it's nice when it comes.
But getting back on the point of what you wanted me to read, so again, New Year's hope. How do we, on what foundation, on what basis can we think we have any hope? So, for this very reason, these aren't my words, by the way, this is God's words. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And it's God's words from the Bible, by the way, not because I have some, like, phone line here. So,
yes.
And knowledge was, okay, what did I say? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Does anybody know what virtue is today? That's a really antiquated word, Bob. We'll have to talk about that one time. And virtue with knowledge. Virtue is good, is good character, you know. Things that are truly good, not show-off good, not I'm doing this to get something good, but I'm doing it because it's right kind of thing.
Good qualities.
And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadiness, steadfastness, which is, you know, constancy, not, you know, here one day, and then I'm in the next mood the other day, then I'll do that, you know, but a steady consistency. And steadfastness with godliness, and godliness, which is seeking God's will and what's right, with brotherly affection. There's your relationship thing, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the new year. I mean, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah.
But in the new year. And then it says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten, you know, that Christ came to cleanse us from our sins. So one thing we want to be is we want to have our eyes open and we want to have our ears open. And you'll get a lot of hope really fast when you do that and you ask God, you know, just help me. And I've said this before, I think it's one of the coolest promises in Scripture, and that is that whoever asks for wisdom, God will give it to him.
And that the last verse of that passage you read said, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Now that's quite a promise, actually. You know, so talk about hope that's beyond wishful thinking. You know, these are the things that we strive to, you know, add to our list, our resolutions. And we have a song right now called, as we are talking about now, Change My Tune by Forest Sun.
Song I sang, got the words wrong, gonna sing you another, want you to sing along, gonna change my tune, change my tune. worry, pretty baby, I'm gonna change my tune. I say everything's different. Start the day. I'm gonna change my tune. Change my tune. Listen here, baby. I'm gonna change my tune. I'm telling you, honey, I'm gonna change my tune. Don't worry, sweet baby. I'm gonna change my tune.
Hey, welcome back to The Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie. And we have a website, themusicofmarriage.com, and a book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, with biblical principles to keep the music playing. And we're talking today about our New Year hopes and resolutions and on what basis can we feel that they won't fall flat. What the good news really is that, if you put your faith and you partner with God in your life, you have hope even when you fall, that you're falling on, it's like when a child falls, but when they're holding your hand or you're holding your child's hand and they fall, it's a different kind of fall. So you want to put your hand in God's hand, and then when you fall, you got somebody right there to kind of yank you up and help you get your footing again, mm-hmm. No matter how much you fall. So in marriage, like in our marriage, it's like we're both on each side, and God's on the middle, and we're holding his hand like children walking through life.
Yeah.
And when we stumble and mess up or whatever it is, we both have that confidence that we know. And in the middle of any relationship, God wants to be, he's very involved, obviously, in our lives anyway. He wants us to be more inclusive of him and more
inclusive of others.
Right, and therefore inclusive of others, because they can have that same, each of us can have that same confidence that we walk through life not alone. And that help is at hand.
Yeah, and that Evie came up with an idea. She had called spheres of love. She had this vision of overlapping circles and how we should be overlapping one another. And we have that illustrated in our book. And what we said in our book was that, for instance, when you've been offended by your husband, wife, or in-law, or another family member, it may be instinctive to live in an isolated or retreating fashion, but a love initiative will reshape your disinterest into interest. And here's where having a progressive mentality an adapting mentality, relationally adapting mentality, comes into play. In relationships outside of marriage, obviously it's easier to skate through life and ignore someone that hurts you. But in a family, however, marriage in particular, you've got to contain a situation. And so persons or spheres, as Evie looked at it, that live together to provide God-ordained bedrock of society are... That's how we should see things. And to the extent that your sphere touches or overlaps another person's sphere is the extent to which you display your love to them. And so how do we overlap when we feel like running away or ignoring a person or retaliating? Well, you love them anyway. You overlap anyway.
And you don't say, well, they're toxic, so that excuses me. And I can just have nothing to do ever again with them. That's the biggest lie, separating and dividing people. And even in Christian circles, they're listening to psychology and books that promote mm-hmm. this. Whereas the exact opposite is what actually happens. Because
that's
what
needed.
God says will happen, and it does work. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is certainly beautiful.
And so we're going to play a beautiful song by the beautiful songwriter, Gordon Lightfoot. And guess what this song is called?
Beautiful.
I just don't know how you could be anything but beautiful. Think that I'm made for you, and you were made for me. And I know that I will never change. We've been rain or shine for such a long, long time. Laughing eyes and smiling face, it seems so lucky just to have the right. Telling you with all my might, beautiful and I. And I know that you will never stray, 'cause you've been that way from day to day for such a long, long time. How could life be anything but beautiful? Think that I was made for you, and you were made for me. And I know that I will never change. We've been friends, rain or shine, such a long, long time. Well, I must say, it means so much to me to be the one who's telling you, I'm telling you, that you're beautiful.